Hey everybody, welcome to the post-hiatus Roldorf Cafe podcast. This is our first podcast in a year now, so this is an auspicious one. I've got a fantastic guest, kind of where we left off from our last conversation and Roldorf Cafe. Coming back to now this episode. So today we have Joop Philip from Fortis Watches. He's going to be joining us today and talking about watches and space and things that are new. And, we'll get into a little bit of businessy stuff too. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Joop to the Roldorf Cafe. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Jason. Good morning or good evening or whatever.
Yeah, good late evening over here. Yeah.
Yes.
I was wondering whether to have coffee or scotch. So
I think it's too early for scotch for me. It's 8 o'clock in the morning now here in Switzerland. So I think I have to wait for another hour and then we can start.
That's fantastic. It's so great to be talking to you again after this last year. It's been an unusual last year for us, and you've been going great guns in the background with Fortis. And I've just been, for the most part, just watching on the sidelines until we could actually get started or restarted again. So it's fantastic to have this opportunity to do that with you.
No problem at all.
Why don't we start with this? You took the reins of the company technically in 2018, and and now we're into 2023. So I guess really you only started truly in 2020, which was at the beginning of a pandemic, and here we are going into to 3 years later. So what have been the highs and lows for you?
So it's 5 years already I have the company. Time is running, so it's going really quick. And I think at the end, I think it was the toughest time to take over a company like this and build it up from new. If you see the COVID and now the war, I don't know how much impact the Ukraine war has in Canada or US, but in Europe it's quite big, of course, because it's quite near. So I think it was a really tough time, and it was much more difficult than I expected to build it up. Of course, maybe there's the COVID and the war has more impact than I expected, and nobody could see that this will happen, of course. So in 2018, everything was perfect. I think the watch market was perfect. Everything was fine. And then we started to build it up, and then everything was closed.
I know, we laugh about it, but these are all very crazy things, right?
The first things we did in Fortis was to refurbish our building. So we are still in the same building since 1912, and there was no refurbishment for the last 20-30 years. So the first thing we did was to renovate or refurbish our atelier where the watches are produced, because I wanted to have a really high standard room.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to have a big party, real big opening party, and we had a lot of journalists invited. And this was one day after the COVID shutdown. So we had to cancel all happenings we planned and all events. And this was quite, so everybody was really disappointed about that. And I think this was the start of of the relaunch of the company, and this was really tough. But I think we did a quite good job. I just had an event in Austria with the Red Bar Club from Austria, in Graz, and this was this Saturday evening, and it was amazing. So you see a lot of watch nerds and watch fans know us now again, and they really have a really good opinion about us. And you have this evening, and you talk to everybody, and you see there is a big impact, and the people have now a completely different opinion about the brand Fortis instead of 5 years ago. Of course, also there was COVID and the war. I think there was a really good success for the brand for the last 5 or maybe 3 years, of course, because I think the real relaunch was with the launch of the Flieger collection in 2020. So I think This was the real big launch, the relaunch of the brand Fortis.
When it comes down to the renovation, I know when I was there last year, You were in the thick of it all. So where are you at now?
So 2019, we started with the atelier where the watch production is in, and now we did already also the office and the museum. The refurbishment itself, it's ready. Everything is fine, but we are still waiting for the furnitures for the museum. So I think the supplier told me he can deliver in May. So we just ordered last summer. So it's all taking a lot of time. But I think end of May we are finished. So we have a complete museum and an event room and meeting room and new office. So I think then we are ready for the future.
Oh, fantastic. As you're talking about these things, it really does highlight a very similar path both you and I have been on during this period of time. Mm-hmm. Because when we decided to expand and open up a much bigger bricks and mortar store, we took over a few weeks before the pandemic, and then there were the shutdowns.
Yes.
And we were dead in the water for mm-hmm. for months. We thought, you know, by summer this will all, you know, be finished, mm-hmm. and we can get back to normal, it just wasn't the case. No one can ever predict these things, these crazy things, when it comes down to global economies, wars, pandemics. We have to make our decisions based on the information we have at the moment, both historical and current. But it's when you start getting into future predictions, we've now realized that it's a crazy world right now. It makes it very difficult to make those decisions, and any person, especially someone like you that has taken over a major company, a major brand name, the pressure must be extreme. I can't imagine,
because like you told, you cannot make a real plan for the future, because normally if you buy a company and make a plan, you take a look at the last 10-20 years in the market, and then you make some expectations about the future, and then you make a business plan. But to be honest, you cannot do any plans.
No.
Because nobody knows now really about the future. This makes it quite hard for us. But I think at the end, I think we are really successful now. And I think we do the best what we can. And I'm really positive about the future now. It only can be better.
Indeed. Now, there's some upcoming things this year for you, especially within North America. There's the Wind Up Watch Fairs.
Yes, we will do 3 shows in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York to get to know the market, US, and of course Canada, and to understand the fans and the watch nerds, and how do they think, and how do they, what do they want, and what do they need.
From experience with the San Francisco show, it's an amazing show, and I know you've been to the one in New York and Chicago last year, right?
Yeah, we've also been to San. So I've been to San Francisco last year.
Oh yes, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in San Francisco and New York, and Pascal and Andreas stayed at the Chicago show. I will be in Chicago this year and New York, not in San Francisco, because my father has his 80th birthday, so I have to join, of course, him. But as I heard, you will help us at the booth.
I shall be there. Yes, indeed.
Perfect. Thank you.
I'm very much looking forward to it. So those, I think, those shows for North America really are roots level shows. You know, you get the standard watch buyer. You get all the other exhibitors in there. There's mm-hmm. camaraderie. I love that show, and I'm so happy to myself anyway, and Mary's coming along as well, to go down there this year to San Francisco. I don't think we'll be at the other ones, but San Francisco will be there in a couple mm-hmm. of weeks.
No, perfect.
Yeah, it really does sort of kick the year off, I think. So what do you have in store for us this year that you can actually talk about right now?
So in 2023, there's a big happening for us. So first of all, we launched a Flieger update in March. So we have restarted in 2020 with the original, with the green and orange model. Yeah. Of course, you have the F39, the F41 and the F43. And of course, the Triple GMT in titanium. And our decision was, okay, let's start with the original, this green and orange.
Yes.
And have it for minimum of for 2 years, just to explain the people, this is the original, because as you know, the Flieger was always green and orange since the 80s.
Yeah.
And I think this is the color for the real fans of yes. Fortis. But of course, there are many people out there, they don't like the green and orange. It's too fancy for them.
Yeah.
And of course you need some classic colors like black, blue, black and blue, of course. And then we decided, okay, let's wait it for 2 years and then bring the colors for the, as you explained, or how you call it, the standard watch
yes.
buyer. Okay, yeah. So they love black, they love blue. So we launched all the models from F39, F41 and F43 in a black color, with steel hands and with the blue color, just classic. I think these are evergreen colors you can always wear. You can you can buy it also in 20 years, I think. And then we did one color, this one special, because I'm normally not a big fan of standard colors. I always want to have something special, and I always was the guy buying watches that are not so normal, not the usual. I always love the special things. So we have this special color Petrol. Of course, the name Petrol is not so special, but it's quite a nice color, changing between blue and green and everything, I think, because you cannot explain the color real. You have to see it in life. You can also not do a real photo shot or something like that. You have to see it in life and how it reacts in the
yeah.
in the sunlight. It's yeah. really amazing. Yeah.
So yeah. all of those pieces will obviously be at Wind Up.
Yes,
so,
we will have the complete range, of course, to show to the people. And next to these three colors, we have an update on the Triple GMT and the titanium version. So we have also a titanium colored dial, which is
yeah.
really nice. I really love. And there will also be something special in May. So we have a new edition for the PC7 team, of course.
Yeah.
And this one can be also will be shown on the San Francisco. I think it will not be launched already when we are in San Francisco.
Yeah,
but I'm 100% sure that Andreas and Pascal will have the watch with them, and the people can have a first look without any photo shots, of course.
yeah.
So who's, you know, interested, I think, to see the first impressions so come to San Francisco?
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see. I can't wait for that. I have to say, though, the F43 triple GMT in titanium, that dial is gorgeous.
It is
stunning. You know, the vertical grain in the dial just looks brilliant with the orange and black. It's a real winner.
Yeah, sure. And I'm a big fan of titanium color.
Yeah,
I love it much more than the classic steel brushed or polished or something. So titanium for me, it's, you have this gray color with a little bit gold shiny inside. This is for me my personal favorite. It was for the last 20 years. I always loved most of the titanium watches, and especially the titanium colors.
Now, there's also another one caught my eye in the lineup, the M44 with the resin gold on the horizon strap.
Yes,
tell us a little bit about that, because that's quite interesting.
Yeah, we launched it last year in October, I think.
Yeah.
September or October. And the M44, the Marine Master Collection, which was launched in 21. Now we had the first update last autumn. This was not the plan. Normally we wait for 2 years for the next launch, or 2.5 years, because I don't like it if brands are coming with updates every 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think if you buy a watch, you need a little bit of time for your decision. And if they're coming updates every few weeks, like the big brands do, it's you can never make a real decision because there's always something new.
Yeah.
So but the M44, we started in 21 with the orange color, with the amber orange.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a huge success. And we had the M40, where there was the green edition, the woodpecker green. And this was also a big success for us. And there were so many people who asked us, can you bring the M44 in woodpecker green and also a blue? And we said, okay, let's go for it, because the people are buying always the orange one, and give them some opportunities to have a different color.
Yeah.
So we really run production really fast to have these new colors. And of course, I'm a big fan of black and gold.
Yeah.
I don't know the English name, but you know there's an old movie with Burt Reynolds where he is called the Bandit, and he's driving Smokey and the Bandit, and he's driving this Trans Am, this black Trans Am with golden lines, and
yes.
I think this is, for me, like my childhood, the black and gold. This is evergreen color I really like. So it was always my wish to have also a black and gold edition. So we have this black resin. This is not 100% black dial. It's like more charcoal. It's a black brown color.
Yeah.
Then with golden hands, and then of course we did this special edition with the gold ring. So we have, instead of the black PVD steel ring, we have an 18K gold ring for a special version. But there's also the standard version with the black ring.
Yeah, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
So everyone has been talking about watches and wonders and time to watches this year.
Yeah.
And you weren't there.
No.
What was the reason for that?
Because it's, and first of all, it's a B2B, so business to business. So this is not an, we had the decision inside Fortis that we will not do any B2B fairs anymore, because it's, for me, it's wasted money. If you spend, if you run a fair with a big booth, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And at the end, there are no end consumers there. There are only retailers, businessmen, professionals from the watch industry.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, I think no, it's not worth the money you spend there. I can visit them. I know them any.
Yeah.
So why should I run a B2B fair? Of course, they have opened the Watches and Wonders, I think, on Saturday now for the end consumers, and they had a lot of visitors. But I love the fairs like Windup, where you have a really direct contact to everybody who can, everybody can join your booth, and you can talk to the watch fans out there. And this is much more effective for us. It brings us more feedback. I think this is the most important thing for a fair, for me, is to get feedback from the market.
Yeah, yeah.
And for this, you have to talk to the fans, to the real end consumers, and not to the retailers. I can call you anytime, ask you what's your feedback. For this, I do not have to run a fair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Exact. So, and the Watches and Wonders, it's more a B2B. So it's just open for one day. Maybe they will open it for everybody for the whole 3 days or 4 days. It's going on. But for this, we will wait. So it's much more funny to have a fair like Windup instead of Watches and Wonders.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if you are next to Rolex on a fair, nobody will talk about you.
No. No,
and so it's wasted money.
It really did seem like, of course, Rolex and Tudor were the conversations being had at Watches and Wonders. So it,
yeah, it is.
It's always has that overarching thing as soon as Rolex is anywhere nearby, and that isn't exactly fair.
Yeah,
really
it is.
Isn't. But some other changes. I'd like to hear a little bit about your strategy with regard to the DACH region. Now, for those that listen to this podcast, it is, I think, a bit more North America-based. People over here are listening to it, so they may not understand what DACH is. So if you want to explain that and then explain your strategy moving forward for this, because I think in a way it ties in with what you've been saying already.
Yeah. So first of all, the DACH region, to explain to the American people, is it's D, A, and C, H. So D is for Germany, Deutschland, A is for Austria, and CH is for Switzerland. So this is what we call the DACH region. So this is the German-speaking part of Europe at the end.
Yeah.
And when I start, so I'm originally German-speaking, and when I started with Fortis, it was always a plan to start also with the DACH region on the main focus for opening all the retail shops. Because they speak my language, it's easier for me to understand. It's a shorter way to go there and to get better feedback and to learn. That this is the first step. You have to learn how does the market work. So this was the first step for us, and now we learned a lot for the last 5 years, of course. Yeah. And of course we changed the brand image, I think, a little bit. I think Fortis has always been a tool watch, but I think it was more for the, I don't know how to explain, it was more standard tool watch, a really professional instrument.
Yeah.
And now we want to be more a luxury professional instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe to explain it like that. So luxury, what you can really use. So this is our main idea, to have this. So, and of course we raised the prices had to increase, but also the quality increased. And of course with this we need a different style of retailers. And that's why we made the decision. We have around about 70 shops in Germany. We checked all of them. We had to everybody a conversation, and then we saw, okay, some of these retailers are not open for our strategy for the future.
Yeah.
They want to be there where they are. That's fine for me. They are their own entrepreneurs. They have to make their own decision about their shops. And they have not declined in this price class we are now in.
Yeah.
So they are still selling watches from 500 to 1,000 maybe. And they don't want to sell watches were much more expensive. So Fortis is starting from 2,000 and going up to 6,500 roundabout. And they don't have the clients. So we had to make the decision, okay, then we have to stop working together. So now there are 30 to 40 retail shops left. And of course, we try to find new ones. So we want to be in the retail shop. We want to be in the windows, of course. And we want to work together with them. But for this, we had to make a cut to find a different quality of retail shops for the future. And of course, we want to support our shops. Really, we have a budget for trade marketing, we call. And of course, we try to focus and help our retailers to get the brand to the end client. And it's much better to focus on a small quantity of retail shops and push them much more instead of having 70 or 100 shops, and then it's maybe wasted money or not enough money. And so it's much better for us to focus with the budget we have on a small high quality retail shops instead of having a lot of. So this is, I think that this was the main strategy. Okay, make a cut and then build up from new. And of course, we will. Our target is to have, I think, in Germany or the DACH region, around about 100 shops. And for this, we have to push a lot of work inside. And I think it was quite funny because last week, I think the journalists, they did not understand anything what we do. They just heard, okay, Sportis is quits with 30 or 40 shops, and they thought, oh, okay, they are online only or whatever they want, and now we are the enemy number one for all the retailers. And I said, no, that's wrong. Please read it, or read the letter we wrote to them exactly. And at the end, we want to build up new retailers, and we want to focus on the shops we have, which have the quality we expect from them.
Yeah, I guess it all goes down to branding, and your partners have to fit with you, and
of course,
and you with them. And if that isn't happening, then it doesn't make sense.
No, it does not make sense at all.
No,
I'm investing so much money, and the retailers are one part of the whole of the whole brand, and they are brand ambassadors at the end. And if they are not interested in what we are doing, and if they are not interested, and if they don't like our idea of the brand, it does not make sense.
Yeah.
And if they don't have the passion for it, it does not make sense.
Yeah.
And our vision is to work with people with passion.
Yeah.
I think this is the most important. Last week I had also an interview with one of these journalists, and he asked me, are you doing it like Rolex or Omega? So the window has to be like this, and this has to be like this, and you have to have only golden doors. And said, no, this is not what we want. We want the question is, who is behind the shop? Who is the owner? Are there guys with passion?
Yeah.
Or just businessmen want to sell watches?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this is the main difference. I think all I learned from the watch shows and watch fairs from the last years is that the people want to talk about the watches. They want to have knowledge. They want to have entertainment.
Yeah.
And for this, you need retailers working with passion, and not only we have a blue watch and we have a black watch.
Yeah.
You know, that's not enough.
No, it isn't.
And I think that people love community. And so we are looking for retailers with a community.
Yeah.
And I think this is the most important thing for us.
I think it is, because many, many stores are quite sterile that way.
Yeah.
You know, you go in there, you're confronted with standard displays with rows and rows and rows of watches, and and salespeople that may or may not know a lot about the watches. I think that the savvy consumer now is more than just a consumer. It is an experience. They will buy from someone that they feel comfortable buying from, because if they yes. can see that they're curating a collection of brands that means something to them, that makes all the difference. The innovation, I think, in the industry now is creating a store that can be an experience for the person coming in, where they most people only get 2 days off a week, right? And if they're going to be spending some time, it's got to be quality time. It's got to be worth their while. Yeah. And this was always our reason for being, not necessarily to sell or want to sell a watch to every person that comes through the door, but it's to create the relationships. It's to start the discussions, because that's what people remember,
and of course,
that's what they prefer. And that's what they will always come back to in the end, ultimately. So I think it makes absolute sense for you to do that and make these changes.
Yeah, because at the end, the retail shops are fighting against the online shops.
Yeah.
And if it's just about buying a watch, it's much more convenient to buy it online.
Yes.
So, but if I go to a retail shop, I want to have an experience and I want to build up like a friendship.
Yeah.
And this is what's not possible online. You cannot build up a real relationship online. Maybe you can do something social media things, but at the end, this is not a real friendship.
Yeah.
This is not a real relationship. This is what you can do inside the shop. And of course, you cannot give a big experience online. You can show them a lot of pictures or movies.
Yeah.
But it's not the same experience like talking to a real good salesperson and have some stories about the product.
Yeah.
And I think this is the big difference for the future and the challenge for the retail shops, not just selling watch, give the people an experience about the product.
Yeah, indeed. You and I, we think very, very much alike that way. Absolutely. Yeah. So, what else has been going on? You've been sending watches up into space.
Yes, we did. We did. And this is also one thing which will happen in August. So on the 13th of August, we will launch a really, really high limited special edition of the Stratoliner.
Okay.
And as the most people know now, we are the official partner of the Swedish Space Corporation,
yeah,
which is the biggest rocket launch area in Europe and the official European spaceport now since 3 months.
Okay.
So, and we are testing and developing the next space watches with them together. Because they have a big know-how, of course, and you can do a lot of testing, yeah, and try to find, okay, how does the new space watch or the new Mars watch is looking like? You can really work together with them, and we're now developing a machine to simulate space in Grenchen in Switzerland, of course, because it's much more cheaper to simulate space in Grenchen than always go to Sweden and send a rocket into space. But we had this one, we've been part of an experimental rocket in November, so there was 12 experiments on board, and we've been part of it, and we did a special edition for this test for the Stratoliner. So you know, normally the Stratoliner has this rubber inlay in the case, this rubber ring, and we did a special 18K gold ring inside and have a special gold Luminova and gold hands, and there will be only 13 pieces worldwide. So this is a really high limited edition, and we did some, of course, the end test. We did the test of the acceptance of the movement in stratosphere last year with the balloon.
Okay, yeah.
So this was now the real test in space. So we sent the rocket up to 280 kilometers. I do not know how many miles, but I think the ISS is on 400. So we went to 280.
Okay, yeah.
So the rocket has 6,700 kmh. I think in miles it should be around about 4,000 miles per hour.
Miles per hour, yeah.
We had 12.8 G force, so nearly 13 G. And we had a lot of vertical and horizontal vibrations, so this was really awesome for the watch. We will launch a documentation on our YouTube channel, so make an abo on our YouTube channel to see this documentation. This was really an awesome experience in Sweden. So we've been to Kiruna at his minus 28 degrees Celsius. maybe you can calculate it in Fahrenheit, I don't know. it was freezing up your ass.
Yeah.
It was really cold time. We have been for 4 weeks there and preparing the rocket and the watches, and then we sent it up to space, and it was really, I think, the most awesome experience I ever had. It was really, really awesome. You cannot imagine how I'm still fascinated of this experience. So watch the movie, and we will then start selling these 30 pieces, but we will not sell it immediately. We will take our time. I think we decided to make, maybe we will take 1 year and sell just one per month.
Right.
So if anybody is interested, just send us an email. We will put you on a list, and then from time to time we will make a decision who will be one of these owners of these real space watches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because why we are doing that? First, it was the idea to have a partnership with Fratello.
Yes.
Together. And sell all the watches in 1 minute with their online shop and their community. But I said, no, I don't want that. Then you cannot control who is buying this watch. Then you have maybe just collectors putting them into their safe, and then it's gone, and then they're waiting for 10 years.
Yeah.
And the watch will not be worn. I want to sell these watches to guys who really wear it.
Yeah.
Every day. Because this is not just a collector's watch. It's really a watch, a real watch for real people wearing this watch every day. And this is what I want to see. So if there's anybody interested, write us an email. And we will put you on your list, and then we will check if you. I will decide it at the end.
That's awesome. Are you wearing one of them?
yes, I have one of them, of course.
Very good.
I think we will sell one. One will go to Fratello, of course, because we promised them, and we have a really good partnership with them. But I think the first one will be one guy who was also part of the rocket. He had an experiment on, he has one of these modules for the rocket, and of course then he has to have one, but the rest we will decide step by step who will get one.
Well, I think this has been an absolutely fantastic conversation. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing you down in San Francisco. I know you won't be there personally, but it's going to be a lot of fun down there. I'm sure, and I'm just so thrilled to be able to have a one-on-one like this with you, so that we can start to show this side of Fortis Watches as being a people brand. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Jason,
for taking the time this morning
for you. No problem. And also thank you for our partnership, because these are the things I really like. You know, you talk to each other, you get directly feedback, and this is how retail should work for the future, to be honest.
You know, it's good. You know, you and I are on the same page that way. I just love what I do, and I love brands that are like yours. It's just invigorating. It makes me want to go to work every day. You know? I will be out to Switzerland later on this year, for sure, probably in September time. We'll come and visit you there.
of course.
In the meantime, I look forward to our next conversations, and we'll hopefully chat again soon.
We will be. Okay.
Hello everyone, this is Jason, and I want to thank you for being with us today listening to the Roldorf Cafe podcast. You can hear more of our shows and when they're released on Instagram and our website. We cover many topics about watches, the industry, and the brands we're most passionate about. You can find the Roldorf shop at 307 West Cordova in Gastown in Vancouver. And we'd be delighted to welcome you and talk watches. Visit our website for more information at roldorf.co.